It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony. Don Tony.
That's right. You better believe it. The real Don is in the house. It is Sunday night, 21st of May. How's everybody doing this weekend? I am Don Tony, and today I touched a lot of grass. If you know why I said that, props to you. Hope everybody's doing good. Today we're going to have a little bit of a different episode. I do this on Patreon. Quite a bit. We get into topics that have nothing to do with pro wrestling. This channel, especially the video side of it, has been 99.9% pro wrestling. I made the mistake a couple of years ago when I first got into it, talked a little bit too much about politics, but, you know, always willing to get feedback, suggestions, and one reoccurring idea that's been posted by so many of you is that DT, you know, we have our favorites that we tune into in the pro wrestling world, talking AEW, WWE, and beyond. But, you know, once in a while, you know, some real life stuff needs to be discussed. And, you know, there is a world outside of the wrestling ring. And DT, did you ever think about doing a show that has nothing to do about wrestling? Now, honestly, no, I don't plan on doing this on a regular basis, but we decided for tonight, and we hyped it for 2 weeks, that tonight we will focus more on the non-wrestling side of things. You can talk about anything. I mean, personal stuff, politics, sports, food, social issues. I see a couple of questions already came in. That doesn't mean that we can't talk pro wrestling. There is no, you can't talk about that. But obviously, since this is the first time, we're really looking to have some discussion outside of wrestling. And my God, there is a giant world out there, and who knows what people are going to throw at me. Probably won't be able to discuss every little thing. I don't know about every little part of the world. But if it starts falling off the rails, or if those, especially live, feel, eh, you know, we got to talk a little bit more about pro wrestling. Yeah, we'll sneak a little bit in there. And I see a question came in early on that actually has some wrestling involved with it, but not necessarily, you know, what you would think as far as everyday pro wrestling stuff. So today we'll talk about everything pretty much. So, yeah, we got some funny ones coming in. Shout out to everybody who is live, by the way, everybody on the replay. As always, you know, if you have a particular question and you're in the live chat, just write question before it so I could see it a little bit quicker. Super chats are never required, but they are appreciated. They help keep this in business, and we'll always get a little bit of VIP priority support. So with that said, all right, let's see how this goes, everyone. This is going to be interesting. So be warned, we hyped it for 2 weeks that a lot of the discussion would not necessarily have to do with pro wrestling. I see one fall asked right early on, am I a Mountain Dew or a Cherry Coke drinker? If I had to choose between the two, Mountain Dew. I don't like cherry sodas. Never liked it, never will. Even when I'm back on keto. I started again on Wednesday. I'm finally starting to feel a little better. Dealt with the flu for a couple of days, and man, did I feel like shit. But today was really the first day that I actually started feeling a little better. But yeah, I drink Zevia, and they have a cherry cola version of Zevia, and I can't drink it. Cola, fine. Cherry Coke, no. All right, Lascelles Williams kicking this off with a little bit of a wrestling topic with it. I know your show tonight will be everything outside of wrestling. I have a good question that mixes both worlds. My early thoughts on Vice doing a Dark Side of the Ring episode about Chris Candido and Sonny. All right. Just, I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I'll be honest with you. I will see how Johnny Candido reacts to the episode, and that will tell me what, you know, I'm going to do next. I'm a little bit concerned as far as how they're going to make Chris Candido look in this. I don't want him to be looked at as a fool. And anybody that knew their relationship personally, you know why I say that. Not saying this as any braggadocious, you know, reason, but I'm just giving you a little bit of background. I became friendly with Chris Candido pretty strong enough that when they did the documentary on him a few years ago, Johnny Candido wanted to be me to be in it on TV and everything, and I turned him down. And he's like, why? He's like, you became friends with Chris. You know, I want you to tell some of the personal stories that you never made public. I'm like, nobody wants to see me. They want to see the wrestlers, the famous people. They're going to look at me and they're like, the fuck's this guy doing on this? And I turned it down. Anybody thinks I'm lying, ask him. Chris Candido was an awesome guy, man. Awesome guy. His relationship with Tammy, can I call it weird? To a certain level, there was a weirdness factor to it. I actually just watched the timeline that Kayfabe Commentaries did with Raven for 1996, and Chris Candido was brought up in that. Raven had some relations with Tammy Sitch. And all I'll basically say is that Raven said that he feels Chris had to have known of some of Tammy's, you know, relationships outside of their relationship. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And I don't know how I'm going to react to this dark side of the ring. Chris Candido was an awesome guy. I just hope they just don't make him look like a fool. You know, he truly loved Tammy. No question. But, you know, it's a very, very complicated situation. I'm a little surprised that they decided to put their relationship together in this. If they would have done a Dark Side of the Ring, Tammy Sitch, okay, fine. I think the reason why they did not just do Dark Side of the Ring, Tammy Sitch, is because the outcome of her trial has not happened yet. And I think, you know, the future of Dark Side of the Ring is not guaranteed. Will there be more episodes next year? Who knows? So I think they preferred, you know what, let's do a joint episode with the two, so it really covers up to the, you know, shortly after their relationship. But I don't think Chris Candido should have been dragged into that, because Chris Candido had some dark moments in his life, and yes, he died tragically, but Chris Candido's personal life was a hell of a lot stronger and a lot less controversial than Tammy Sitch. So yeah, that's the best way I could answer this. I have nothing but love for Chris Candido, and I'm not going to watch something that's just going to make him look like a simp, or as Gruss just said, or I don't think they will. I do know Landstorm and a few others are involved with it, and they love Chris. So my gut feeling is that Chris will be portrayed in a very positive light. Tammy, not so much. And honestly, you know, she's kind of dug her own hole, if you know what I mean. So thank you, Lascelles, for that. Ronnie C. in the house. I saw that you are back on a keto diet. How do I deal with not having Italian food? I would go insane if I didn't have my weekly Sunday sauce. I needed to go back on keto. I've been off keto since September when I got married. I wanted to be able to enjoy, you know, like regular food for a change. And don't get me wrong, I had my share of pizza, pasta, Chinese food, cake, cannolis, ice cream, anything you can think of, I probably had it since September. It's just that, number one, I have a big problem with inflammation and pain from my car accident. And being on keto takes away a lot of my inflammation. Plus, I dropped like 45 pounds on keto. Keto works for me. So this past Wednesday, I decided to go back on it. And, yeah, I'm going to miss a lot of those things. But, you know, now if I want a piece of pizza, I'll eat the toppings. You know, I just won't eat the bread. If I want to have pasta, I have lupini flour, which is not the same. But, you know, you put a little good bit of garlic and oil, a little good Parmesan cheese with it. It's not so bad. It's a little sacrifice to make, but I'm back on it. And today was the first day that I could truly say that I don't feel any issues with flu anymore. Keto is not easy to go on, guys. It works, but you got to also make sure with your doctors that it's okay to go on it. Because if you have high cholesterol, if you have some issues, you know, it could make it worse. Me, my doctor strongly suggested, my doctor told me either keto or Mediterranean diet. And I chose keto to go back on it. I was on it for 2.5 years. I did very well with it. And the great thing about going into this now is I don't really need to study. I don't need to read. I don't need to experiment. I literally got a new blood meter today and I tested my blood and my glucose was 92, which is supposed to be awesome. And my ketones level was 1.6. So I'm right back in. It's almost like my body was like, what the fuck took you so long? So, yeah, I mean, I can have meatballs. I can have sauce to a certain extent. I just can't eat the pasta. You know, I can eat manigotas. I can only just eat the rigotta. So thank you, Ronnie, for that. Lascelles with another 10 spot. I'm leaving for work. Leaving you one more question in case I can't catch you live. Your honest thoughts about Dylan Mulvaney and if Bud Light should be boycotted. Have a good one, buddy. Yeah, I had a feeling this question was going to be asked because we kind of brought that up last week. Like, hey, if you want to talk about that. I mean, honestly, my take on it is this. I don't have any issue with anybody who is trans. If that's, you know, what you prefer to be, that's fine. Whether you're a man, a man that's now a woman that's now a man, someone who identifies both ways, whatever. I don't care. You know, whatever makes you happy and it's not illegal, fine. You know, don't tell me that you want to marry your dog. You know, don't tell me you want to marry 5 different people. You know, I don't believe in polygamy or whatever that is. My take is that, you know, when I was growing up, I was a huge fan of R&B music, house music, techno, Detroit, Chicago, you know, Paradise Garage, you know, Studio 54, and there was a very strong gay scene. And some of my favorite artists growing up was Sylvester and others, even people in the mixing world. You know, Frankie Knuckles, freaking got the pleasure of meeting him twice. And, you know, tremendous. And I remember back then some of my friends mocking me a little bit, like, oh, you're a closet, this and that. And I'm like, you know, I just love the music and, you know, you're around people. I had the opportunity once to go to the Paradise Garage when I was, what, 15 years old. I walked in there and, yeah, it was a little weird, you know, to see what you saw. And the reason why I'm getting that is to it is when I bought sneakers, when I bought food, soda, when I got older with beer, you know, whatever was advertised on TV, you know, I don't need to know, you know, sexual orientation. I don't need to know about this and this and this. And it seems like too many brands these days to get their name in lights has got to do something controversial. And that's my only issue with it. I don't have any issue with Dylan Mulvaney doing commercials for Bud Light. It's just the way it was presented. And what I don't like that's going on right now is that, you know, if you support LGBTQ, if you support trans, if you support whatever you support, that's fine with me. You know, what I have a problem with is for those that may not believe in that. You know, I grew up as a Catholic and as a Christian. And when I saw priests sexually abusing people, you know, I know a few people who were sexually abused by my local priest, 2 priests in my church. I no longer became religious. I was no longer religious from teenager on. But my point is that, you know, I was grew up in the Catholic world that, you know, it's a man and a woman. You know, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. As I got older and I understood it, and I have friends and relatives who are gay, and I don't look at them any different. My point is that there are a lot of people, who, especially who are very religious, that do not believe in same-sex relationships. And if that's your belief, I respect that. If you don't believe in that, I respect that. But now what happens is if you do not agree with the the majority out there, that you are an outcast, that you are hated, that you are exposed, that you are embarrassed, that you are guilted into almost having to lie publicly to say you support something when you really don't. And to me, that's where the problem lies. You know, as far as should Bud Light have been boycotted, if you don't want to buy Bud Light, don't buy it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to drink and what not to drink. But, you know, for those that do not believe, you know, in trans, you know, do I have a problem with it? No, I don't have a problem with it at all. But if someone else doesn't believe it because of their religious background, you know, even though I disagree with them, you know, I respect their view. And these days you are pretty much outcast if you, you know, just disagree with something, even in politics. You know, that's my problem with it. And when I grew up, you know, it's you advertise your product. You didn't try to put up social issues and intentionally put things in people's faces to try. It's just, you know, to me, it's tacky. To me, it's ridiculous. I don't have any issue with Dylan being in a Bud Light commercial, but the way that Bud Light went about it, to me, I just thought that was kind of Bush League. So, Bush League. Anheuser-Busch. All right. Thank you, Lascelles, for that. Steve Joseph, what's the reason I went back to keto? Thank you for the two spot, by the way. I gained 7 pounds since I got married. I have a lot of inflammation. I don't feel right. I'm not sleeping right. You know, keto, for some reason, my body just, I wasn't as hungry too. That's another thing. I get extremely hungry at night, like really hungry. When I was on keto, because you eat such a high fat content, you know, fat keeps your hunger away longer than bread or even protein to an extent. So for me, I had success with it. I still got to enjoy things. I just had to be creative about it. And it took away a lot of inflammation for me. So anyone out there dealing with pain or things like that, you know, it actually does help in some ways. Not many diets that I've been on in my lifetime actually worked. Keto is the one that probably worked for me more than anything else. So that's why I went back on it. I thought about doing paleo, but even a Mediterranean diet I thought about going on. The problem is that for me, and I guarantee a lot of you are going to agree with me on this, I'm the type of guy that if I'm allowed to have a piece of cake, I'll have two. If I'm allowed to have a slice of pizza, I'll eat two. If I'm allowed to have a bowl of spaghetti, I'll eat a big bowl of spaghetti. I'd rather be on something where it says, no, you can't have that. All right, I can't have that. But I could be creative and try to make something similar to it. You know, for me, I can't have fruits, but I can have a little bit of raspberries and sugar-free, you know, Cool Whip topping, you know, and eat that. Or they have like Rebel ice cream. And so there is ways to go around it. So, but that's why I went back on it, Steve. Thank you. And Steve, with another two spot, what's the most would I pay for a cell phone? I would do a contract. I wouldn't pay like $1,000 for a cell phone. Honestly, what I would do is I would go on eBay. If I was forced to buy a phone, number one, I would buy a burner phone. But if I had to buy like a really strong smartphone, I would go on eBay from a respected seller, try to get some type of a warranty plan with it, and I would get a secondhand phone. I actually just ordered for a customer in my office a computer on Amazon that's $150. It's a Dell computer with an SSD hard drive and 16 megabytes or gigabytes of RAM, and the computer's been connected now for 2 weeks, and it's amazing. And he's like, this, you know, something's going to go wrong. It was only $150, but it was refurbished. But we got a 1-year warranty with it. So if anything goes wrong, it's covered. Me, I wouldn't buy a brand new cell phone. What I would consider doing is Black Friday. A lot of times on Black Friday, they do buy one, get one freeze with phones. So if you can hang out until Black Friday, you know, and you could maybe if someone else you know, somebody, you know, a family member needs a new phone, maybe you could do something where you get a buy one, get one free. That would be my advice. But always be careful who you buy stuff from. Make sure it's a respected seller. Make sure it's, if you're in the United States, make sure you buy from somebody in the United States. And if you get a warranty, get a warranty. You know, that would be my recommendation. So thank you, Steve. Steve, with another two spot, can I go to sleep without sleeper pills? Once in a blue moon, and I get very weird, vivid dreams. I mean, really weird, vivid dreams. Like people are trying to hack me to death. People are trying to do things, terrible things to me, making me watch 6 hours of QT Marshall, you know, like with robot chicken with toothpicks on my eyes that I can't close my eyes. I take Ambien, generic Ambien, and I've been taking it now for about 15 years. And in the back of my mind, I'm always afraid that I'm going to get a stroke. Because if I remember correctly, I think Jim Ross may have had a stroke from taking Ambien way too long. I'm pretty certain that happened to him. Always stuck in the back of my mind, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? I've been taking this way too. Look, I've been taking painkillers since 1999. No, excuse me, 1996. My car accident was in 96. And I'm still taking pain medication. There's no way taking something like that for that long doesn't fuck you up. You know, so for me, once in a while, I could sleep without taking a sleeping pill. What happens to me once in a while is I wait too long. Like I'll be watching something or I'm doing a show and then next thing I know it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, fuck, I can't take a sleeping pill now. It's too late. I got to get up at 6:30. You know, so sometimes I'm forced to not take a sleeping pill. And, you know, I definitely feel different. I haven't tried to do that 2 days in a row though, so. And does Wrestle Tickets get their attendance numbers wrong? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. They actually do a pretty good job of monitoring the arenas and how the tickets are going. I mean, you know, the secondary market, though, with anything, concert tickets, wrestling tickets, anything. With the secondary market, you know, I'll give you an example. Like with AEW, like I think they reported that there was 2,300 tickets on the secondary market. First of all, not everybody has their ticket in hand already. How are you going to put a ticket for sale for AEW All in a secondary market if you don't have your ticket in hand or your purchase? Now, I know now it's computerized and you get emailed and this and that, but you know not everybody has their shit all set up where they could just flip it like that. You know, and plus, you know, people are going to wait. They're going to wait a month and a half, then put it up. They're not going to put it up when there's 2,000 available. Why would you be attracted to someone else's offer? So you wait. You wait until others, you know, get sold or you have a one that might stand out. You wait to the right time and boom, you put it out there. So no, I don't think they get their numbers wrong. Not at all. Not at all. But they're not complete numbers. And the problem is too many people look at it and they think that, oh, that's the exact number. And that is so far from the truth. Thank you, Steve. Nomad Artist 92 with a 5 spot. Today's Notorious B.I.G.'s birthday would have been 51. Biggie Smalls. Man, when, you know what's funny? We were just talking about Raven. ECW Raven. He did kayfabe commentaries discussing ECW in 1996. I watched it for the first time yesterday. And it was interesting because Raven said something that echoed me, that I identified with 100%, and I think a lot of you out there may identify it as well. Me, when, you know, if you're around my age, and I think Raven's around my age, I think Raven's a little bit older, but you're around my age. I grew up you know, in the 80s, loving hip-hop, Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash, Houdini, you know, Third Bass, Beastie Boys, Tribe Called Quest. It just goes on and on and on. When it got into gangster rap, you know, like, one of the first gangster rap songs was Gangsta Bitch. And I remember me and my friends, you know, at the park going, I want a gangsta bitch. Huh? A gangsta bitch. What? A gangsta bitch. And we look like the biggest fools, but we fucking love the beats and love the songs. Biggie Smalls came around. Biggie Smalls was doing a lot of freestyling in New York, even before that. And Biggie Smalls was a name that everybody had heard of. When he started making it big, he was one of the last hip-hop artists that I enjoyed. Very, very few. Like on Patreon, somebody asked me last week, it was the anniversary of, I think, DMX's debut album. And there was maybe one or two songs from the album that I liked, but then they bring up, you know, NWA, and they bring up this and that. And I was never into gangster rap. Very, very early on, and I'm not saying that Biggie Smalls was gangster rap, but it was predominantly gangster rap. So I never really got into it as much anymore. Once it changed, once we got to the mid-90s, for me it was dance music or nothing. You know, classic rock will always have a place in my heart. But Biggie Smalls, he was, you know, definitely tragically taken way too soon, man. You know, he just was really, really popular in New York. I mean, I could only speak for New York because that's where I'm from. Wu-Tang Clan absolutely loved back then. Oh, fuck yeah. My God. I popped a couple of days ago. Somebody was blasting that song Scenario. Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario? Yo, Bo knows this. What? Bo knows that. But Bo can't rap. And I was like, fucking memories, man. See, you can't make that up. There's no way I could be lying to you because there's no way on the fly I could turn around and start throwing barbs like that out there. But Raven said on that interview that once gangster rap came around, that was it. You know, like, he just couldn't get into it anymore. Like, and who would have ever thought that Raven was into hip-hop? Raven was into hip-hop, but once gangster rap took over, that was it for him. And, man, I agree with that 100%. Because I remember early days when NWA came around and Public Enemy. My God, I had pinstriped on the back of my Buick from Public Enemy. I had pinstriped the words, "Don't believe the hype." Because in my neighborhood back then, you know, I had a little bit of labeling that we're not going to talk about tonight on the show. We get way too long. But I actually had, back in the day, you pinstripe something on the back of your car. That was the in thing to do. The right side, I put, "Don't believe the hype." So believe me, I was into that shit. But, you know, as I've said thousands of times over the years, you know, white Italian guy from Queens, New York, there's only so much stuff that you could, like, sing along with, you know. And when you're hanging out at the park in a summer day and you're blasting, you know, NWA especially, or even some of the later Public Enemy, and you're just going through the lyrics and you're not thinking about what the lyrics are talking about, and they're talking about South Africa and this and that, you know, we don't look right doing it at that time, so we don't look right. Steve Joseph with a two spot. What do I think really happened to JFK? Oh, he was killed by, you know, that's so fucking weird. Because a couple of days ago, I binge watched the original CBS and NBC footage of when he was killed in 1963, November 1963. I think there was only one shooter. I do not think there was two, three shooters. You know, you see, I listen, one of my favorite movies growing up was JFK. And I truthfully believe that there was a massive controversy afterwards. But, you know, when you look at that time and the book depository and the window opened and people looked up and you have all the, it was one person, man. It was only one person. There was no conspiracy with three people and two bullets flying this and, oh, one bullet hit there and there. No, I don't buy it. One person to me killed John F. Kennedy. It's just, you know, the thing is, if you look at that time period with Cuba and you look at the controversy, and look, JFK was very, very controversial. He called out, I don't know if it was Atlanta, Georgia, but he called out that, you know, that the government wouldn't even talk, like, try to meet with blacks. You know, there were a lot of people that hated JFK at that time, but there was a lot of controversy with the Cuban government, and they were having these weird meetings. And, you know, there was a lot of propaganda. And, you know, you go to one of those meetings and you hear people talking about, oh, yeah, we would fucking love to whack him and whack that. And then it happens. Then you start, you think of this and think of this, and you didn't pay attention to this, but now you pay. And people come up with conspiracy theorists. To me, it was only one person. I don't think there was anything more than that. So, NWA and Public Enemy were awesome back in the day. They were awesome. I tell you, ECW, you know, with House of Pain and everything, tremendous, but gangster rap, no. Garth is asking me my opinion on Vice News going bankrupt. I think they just got too big. And they were not managed very well. I think some group of investors are going to put together like $200 million to take care of the creditors and this and that. But, you know, the one thing is, listen, I'm not a fan of the Dark Side of the Ring documentaries, but Vice is not just about those documentaries. And I saw some people online that when they heard about the bankruptcy, they're like, "Yeah, that's for, you know, throwing shade at WWE and stuff like that." And I'm like, nah, you know, they threw a little shade at WWE, Dark Side of the Ring, but not in the ways that people think. And, you know, Vice is an entire network of shows. And unfortunately, they were not managed properly and had gotten into way too much debt. Their value was going down. But I think Vice will survive this. They will definitely survive it. Guardian of Chaos, the Temptations or the Four Tops? For me, the Temptations. You know, the funny thing is, I was never really into Motown. You know, like for me, anything Motown, 70s. You know, like when you had the Commodores and Lionel Richie, when he had the hair that, you know, was like this. You know, the Jackson 5. You know, like, I was into 70s Motown. 50s and 60s I never really got into. I mean, my father was huge. My father had so many Nat King Cole 8-tracks back in the day. And, you know, I was huge on R&B. And the reason why I became huge in R&B is because R&B music was a lot of the music that was used for early house music. They would take beats from back in the R&B days. But for me, Temptations over the Four Tops. Rocky Red is glad and relieved that Jamie Foxx is doing better, but shame and fuck you to all of the blogosphere, tabloids, and aggregate sites for wanting to see his demise because they wanted the notoriety to be first. You know, everybody thinks it's just wrestling. You know, you see, for everybody who's a wrestling fan here, you see the garbage that's happened with CM Punk. It's a drug. It is a drug of what you see going on. You know, CM Punk does a video and calls out some of these liars. And again, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery, do you think that they're going to invest that much money with AEW to have a Saturday night show and other things that they're working on based on one guy? Whether CM Punk comes back or he doesn't come back. And to turn around and to make everything about AEW Collision based on CM Punk is just a big fuck you to the entire AEW roster. It's a fuck you to Tony Khan. And a lot of these journalists don't even realize how pathetic they look, how disrespectful they come across. They just want their names out there, their names and lights. And it doesn't just happen in wrestling. It happens in the political world. It happens in the entertainment world. The thing about Jamie Foxx, though, is the family members that made the statement, I don't know why they waited so long to make the statement. You know what I mean? Like, why let it simmer and build and just, you know, develop it to a giant snowball and then shoot it down? So that makes me think that there might have been some validity in what some people were reporting early. But still, you know, the way they did it, you know, that's why I don't really spend much time on social media anymore. Trust me, you don't think there's conversations that I wouldn't love to be part of right now? Like people are talking about the Bray Wyatt stuff and talking about other things. Like, oh, what went wrong? You know, and I got the perfect answer. We'll talk about it on Monday's show. But the thing is that, you know, you get dragged in and you get dragged into all of the gossip, and you see people out there, they can't go an hour without being on social media. You know, when CM Punk said, go touch grass, you know, he was telling people, go outside, you know, enjoy life a little bit, you know, shut the fuck up about me and all this other stuff. Listen, when Wednesday happens and comes and goes, you know, believe me when I tell you that I don't want to foresee. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the Monday show, but I don't want to foresee what the announcement is going to be from Tony Khan. But if there was going to be some extreme disappointment, they would have mentioned it, you know, in a different way. And the thing is, once Wednesday comes, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to run for cover, and they're going to try to cut. They already have the Band-Aid prepared to cover up all of their bullshit and all of the exaggeration and all of the nonsense that they have done for the last 2 weeks. The billion-dollar announcement that never happened. They shifted from that billion-dollar announcement, you know, $200 million for 5 years. They shifted from that to CM Punk like this. And you see it now in the entertainment world towards Jamie Foxx and others. It's everywhere. We just happen to focus on wrestling, but it is everywhere. And it's terrible. LaToya Williams. How you doing, LaToya? Josh says they just want their name on a seat at Tony's lame scrums. Everybody wants a seat. Everybody wants their name in lights. You know, what's scaring me right now are all the videos of all the fighting going on in the world. And you see it. A lot of young people brawling in schools, punching out teachers, brawling at gas stations. You know, now the fun thing is that if you have elderly people walking their dogs, you know, to grab the dog and run away, you know, and the thing that amazes me is I don't see fucking cops anywhere doing anything about this. But this has been going on for decades. It's just now it's become the in thing to get viewed, be a TikTok star, to be a social media star. And that's the difference, and that scares the shit out of me because, and you know what sucks too? Seeing all these fights that are posted on Twitter and watching tens of thousands of people like, oh, this is terrible, this is disgusting, this and that. But these people can't wait to click on the fucking video and watch the train wreck that's going on. You know, how you stop the over-the-top reality show bullshit is you don't watch it. You don't give it attention. You don't fucking give it. When you give it attention, even if you criticize it, you're doing exactly what they want you to do. They want you to react. They want you to comment. They want to see the views. They want to see the responses. You see, even on YouTube, now the popular thing is everybody telling you, hey, if you don't like my content, hit the dislike button. Let me know that you hate the show. And you think, wow, you know, that's going to spark all the haters. Hate, hate, dislike, dislike, dislike. Yeah, all the haters will be like, yeah, fuck you, Don Tony. Meanwhile, you're helping my algorithm. They just want a reaction. And it's scary shit, man. Very scary. Brian Hunt and I have something in common. That is pretty fucking cool. This is legit. This is legit. Brian just sent a five spot and says, DT, what was your first concert? Mine was the Jackson's Victory Tour in 1984. That's mine as well. That is mine as well. I went to Prince's Purple Rain Tour, but that was 1985, 5, it was, I believe. It was shortly after the Victory Tour. My parents took me, my brother, my cousins. I remember, I don't know if you remember this. And look, you go on eBay, I'm sure you'll find one. People will see, I'm not making it up. What I remember going to the Jackson's Victory concert was the oversized program that they were selling. Now, I haven't seen this program probably since the 80s. But I remember my dad buying me a program, and it was like this big. I'm not kidding. It was like this big. And it had in big letters, Victory. And all the Jacksons were standing on the letters. And that's what I remember from the tour. I was a huge fan of Michael Jackson growing up. And not just the Thriller stuff. You know, I was a fan of Off the Wall. I freaking loved that CD. But I was an even bigger fan of Prince. I was a fan of Prince before Purple Rain. And when I had the opportunity to go to the one of the Purple Rain concerts, and you have Mars Day and the Time, and Sheila E. shows up, and it was a spectacle. It was fucking amazing. Now, I went to clubs, you know, earlier than that. The earliest I remember going to a club was 1983. I don't remember who performed, but they would have like a little stage and somebody would perform. I had the chance one time to go to the Funhouse, and I don't remember what we did. I don't remember anything about, I mean, I remember the club, but I remember going there with fake ID because at that time, if any of you ever seen my high school picture, when I the video when I took the chair home from the ceremony, I mean, yeah. That's like 3 years later, but if I show you pictures of my freshman year in high school, you know, I was already 6 feet tall, and I looked a lot older for my age. But my first concert that I ever went to was the Jackson's Victory Tour. That was the first one I ever went to. Verse went to see the Jacksons also. They were good, man. They were good. I mean, Jermaine tried to break it out on his own. He had that one song, what was it, Tell Me I'm Not Dreaming? That was a pretty good song. He had, oh, Let's Get Serious is probably even bigger, his song. But, yeah, I was a big fan of Michael Jackson and the Jacksons back in the day. I used to try to, you know, it was funny. The Jacksons, you couldn't mix all that well. Michael Jackson, like, you know, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, that's easy to mix. Very easy to mix, especially the last part where you just do-do-do-do, you know. But the Jacksons, yeah, their songs were a little bit hard to mix in. I think Can You Feel is probably the only song that you could really mix with other songs. Yeah, it was not very good. GT, Triple X. Would I like to try and join Rumble and Odyssey? Just asking, because a lot of people are not happy at YouTube. I thought about Odyssey. I think I did sign up for an account in Odyssey only because one of the YouTube channels that I watch, Scammer Revolts, and that's a guy who calls scammers up and fucks with them. He started an Odyssey channel, and he had footage, unedited videos on Odyssey, and I signed up for it, and I never did anything with it. Honestly, the only reason why I haven't looked into Rumble and Odyssey or even the other one now. What's that other channel now? Kick, I think it is. Like, I signed up for it, but I haven't done anything with it. Is because the video side of things are a little bit more complicated. You know, audio is still predominantly, you know, where everybody tunes into my stuff. It's like 85 to 90% of everybody who tunes into my stuff access the audio only. Not everybody wants to see my fat, ugly face. So because my video side of things is not priority, you know, that's the reason why it's not essential for me to try those outlets. As long as I'm on iTunes, as long as I'm on Spotify and iHeart and everywhere else, to me, that's good enough. But it's definitely something that I thought about in the past. But and I don't know how much bigger the video side of things is going to get. You know, like, the audio side is great. I mean, I can't complain about numbers that I get. And, you know, I have a very, very loyal, you know, group out there that supports what I do and, you know, tune in. And I can't ask for anything more than that. How do you really expand your footprint? You want me to show my tits? You know, should I start showing my tits? You know, am I going to get views with that? You know, like, what am I going to do? Sit in a bathtub with just a pair of Hanes on and writing people's names on the little plastic balls and like, look, thank you, Joey. Yeah. Like, what can I do? The only thing I could do is just keep doing what I'm doing or I start lying to people. And I'm not interested in lying. I'm not a good liar. I used to be a good liar. I'm not a good liar anymore. So, all right. Believe it or not, we've already gone 45 minutes. This actually is a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. I honestly thought after about 10 minutes we would gravitate back to wrestling. But Kevin Milwaukee, Controversy is one of my favorite Prince songs of all time. One of my favorite songs of all time. I love that song. The music video is very, very basic. But yeah, Prince, Controversy is one of my favorites. And that was before Purple Rain. You know, I liked him when he had the big, remember Chico and the Man, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s father? You know, remember his hair and that TV? That's what Prince's hair looked like in the late 70s. And that's how far back, like when Prince was wearing women's stockings, and there's some infamous shots of him in concert showing like his underwear was so tight that you saw pubic hair. I know it sounds disgusting, but you'd see pubic hair coming out of the sides of his underwear. And it's like close-up shots. It was pretty... I have so many bootleg videos of Prince from the iOffer days. My God, guys and gals, if you missed the opportunity for iOffer.com, it is something 10, 20 years about people are going to do videos about. The amount of bootleg that was sold on iOffer. I still get email, you know, newsletters from people that are like in the UK that still sell the bootleg stuff because they get away with it. iOffer.com was insane, man. I bought 500 ECW DVDs on iOffer for $29.99 that I was going to give to someone as a gift. And then the person turned out to be a dick and I end up keeping it for myself. The level of bootleg that was for sale, and nobody did anything about it. You literally sold Raw, like the best, like every episode of Raw for like 10 years, and you'd buy it, and nobody did anything. They were up there for a good, 7 years? Mind-boggling. Josh says, I flashed him back to Rob Zombie hosting Raw in tight pants with his bush hanging out the top. Yeah, Rob Zombie, I never got into Rob Zombie. Creative guy, but he's had some duds. And didn't he just do the Munsters? I saw like some videos of that, and I'm like, this guy must have been smoking with Tony Khan. Nothing against Tony Khan. I kind of feel bad what's going on with him right now. But I watched some of the clips of the Munsters. I'm like, is this like, this got to be satire. There ain't no way that this motherfucker, this creative genius, supposedly, Rob Zombie, is in a studio and thinks like, yeah, this is great. That is awful. The Munsters Today. Anybody remember the TV show The Munsters Today? I enjoyed that show because in the early stages, they were talking about the internet. And it's kind of like Married with Children. Tell me you wouldn't wish that Married with Children started 5-10 years later, just so we could have the internet aspect of it blended in. You know, like there's a lot. Look, Beavis and Butthead, they're doing some new material now and they're incorporating today's day and age. You know, back then you didn't have the internet really, you know, not what it even was in the late 90s or even the mid 90s. And you kind of like, you think to yourself for TV shows back in the day, gee, I wonder what it would have been like if it was 10 years newer. What do I think about investing in real estate? Me, I can't even invest in a new car right now. The economy is so messed up. The only thing I could say is that, you know, about 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, there were a lot of TV shows where you would have people go to Las Vegas and some other areas, and they would buy rundown houses, do a little bit of renovating, and they would resell it and make some decent money on it. And, you know, if you have that kind of extra cash and you could go into some areas where you can buy a house and do maybe $50,000 in reno and then sell it for $100,000 more, it might be worth doing. But right now, I don't know if it's a good market. It doesn't seem to be a good market. You know why it's not a good market right now? Because the cost of materials is insane. You know, me, I'm struggling as an insurance broker right now because, like, a piece of sheetrock that might have been $7 2 years ago is now $23. You know, you talk about food. You know, a dozen eggs that might have been $2 3 years ago is now $7. So when you insure a house, or if you're going to rebuild a house, not only do you have to spend three times as much to fix it, but you also now have to spend a lot more for inspectors and permits and licensing and a lot of other things. So I don't know if it's a good idea right now to invest in properties because of the amount of money you would have to spend to renovate. Look at my dad. My dad started renovating the house that he bought next door from his. I posted that picture on social media of the house that he bought that was gutted. That picture's got to be 5 years old already. And he's only now starting to finish the house. It took him 5 years, not just because of health issues, but because it got so expensive so quickly to do things that, you know, you're forced to put things on hold. So the new Beavis and Butthead movie was very good. I agree. I enjoyed it. I can't get into the new TV shows. I watched two episodes, and for me, what kills it is what they put in now where the music videos were. You know, when they did some episodes like 10 years ago, whatever it was, they were putting on like the Surreal Life, or they were putting on Jersey Shore clips. And I fucking hated that. Like, you want Beavis and Butthead to watch music videos. How much could it possibly cost for them to still watch old music videos? I mean, we all like nostalgia to a certain extent. You mean to tell me that you wouldn't laugh your ass off if the new Beavis and Butthead, if they're sitting at the TV and watching old music videos and making up new funny jokes about some of the people? Now they're watching videos of some woman, some girl who made college, some guy that's in jail making a dessert. And I'm like, oh, that's, I can't, those clips ruined it for me. I can't watch it. Can't watch it. I know they still do music videos. The problem is that the amount of money that they would have to spend to incorporate them on the shows is not worth it. That's my point. Who was it? I don't remember who it was. Hall of Famer that does a podcast. I mean, I listen to a lot of them. Somebody made the comment that it must cost a hell of a lot less for Vince McMahon and WWE to license music for some wrestlers, you know, that going back in the day. You know, somebody was talking about Hulk Hogan. I know what it was. It was Brian Last and Jim Cornette were doing a watch-along of the WrestleMania match with the Hulk and with Hulk Hogan and The Rock. And they were talking about the music, and they pointed out that it must be a lot cheaper now for WWE to license. I mean, you think of Saturday Night's Main Event. Believe me when I tell you, you know, that original song, Obsession, you watch Saturday Night's Main Event, as soon as you hear those beats, it brings back memories, and they dub over this generic shit. How much could it possibly cost to license Obsession for replays of Saturday Night? It can't cost a lot. So if Beavis and Butthead are watching music videos of Korn and others, even today, how much could these bands possibly charge, or the record labels, to let them use it for current episodes? It can't cost much at all. It can't. I mean, yeah, Bash brings up Tony Khan. Tony Khan, he likes some music, and he licenses it for Orange Cassidy, for the Elite, for others, and he pays it. You know, why? it can't cost that much. But those segments that Mike Judge does now for Beavis and Butthead kills it for me. I can't watch it. Can't watch it at all. Hate it. All right. Favorite game show like Jeopardy? I love playing Jeopardy. I know I'm old now. I get a lot of questions right. There is a show that they air in the morning a lot on Game Show Network. It's called Masterminds. I get 80% of the questions right. And my mom is looking at me and she's like, how did you know that? And I look at her, I'm like, I have no fucking idea. I mean, I'm getting old because now I'm starting to know like a lot of, like I say to myself, you know what? I probably would do a pretty decent job if I went on a game show. I used to love Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I even like the one, what's that one where you could poll the audience and this and that? I can't remember the name right now. It might even be Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I think it is. Remember that guy who called his dad? Coolest moment. Next to, growing up, my favorite game show was, Press Your Luck. That was my favorite game show growing up, Press Your Luck. When that guy committed that fraud that time, I don't remember his name, but I remember the controversy at the time, and the guy realized that there was a formula that if you waited a certain amount of time, every time you hit the button, it would land on like 3,000 in a spin or 1,000 in a spin. Guy won like $70,000. Might have even been more than that. He died not too long ago, too. Press Your Luck. If you're ever a fan of that show, go on YouTube. There is a documentary that I watched not too long ago that talks about the guy that went on it. And, you know, he was watching a show at home and he noticed the light pattern. And he's like, if you see like this, this, and this happen, like you hit the button after and it always will land on something in a spin. Guy made so much, guy committed fraud. And they had to give him the money. But I don't like the new Press Your Luck. I mean, they still, you know, got a lot of old school flavor to it, but guy back in the day, so that was good. But I'll always remember the guy on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that called his dad, and he's like, oh, no, Dad, I was just calling just to let you know I just won $1 million. That was awesome. I don't remember the guy's name, but that was awesome. So we got a wrestling comment. Kevin Milwaukee thinks Jade Cargill's going to lose her first match before Hook loses his. But that's because she has a title, and if Taya Valkyrie pins Jade, it'll be the biggest accomplishment of her long career. If Taya Valkyrie pins Jade Cargill, I don't think we're going to look back at it as a huge moment in Taya's career. I think a lot of people agree that Jade Cargill having a 400-day streak is like me playing a video game on the easiest level. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I got to like level 80 on Galaga. And like, yeah, it's because you have it set up for like, you know, for blind people could even win the game. You know, it's nothing against Jade. She's still got a long way to go. But we're not talking about somebody, you know, who can, you know, hang toe to toe with your Bianca Belairs and your Becky Lynch's and, you know, even your Thunder Roses and others. You know, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors with Jade Cargill. And honestly, the quicker she loses that title, the better it'll be for her career. Because people see it now. People are like, oh, come on. You know, oh, she's going to have a match on Rampage and it's against, you know, some dumb fuck, you know, and from Japan. And that's it. You know, or Lisa Left Hit. You know, and then there's a quick squash. And you could see Wednesday. Isn't Lady Frost taking on Taya Valkyrie? I like Lady Frost, but that match is going to be awfully quick because Taya Valkyrie is facing Jade Cargill at the event, and they're going to have the match end pretty quickly so Taya Valkyrie could call out Jade Cargill or the reverse to set up Double or Nothing. So, all right. Got a lot of talk about game shows. Match Game was great. I was a big fan of Match Game. Really enjoy. I loved how they did the tongue-in-cheek humor about sex. You know, and they would always use the term blank. Like, John went to the bathhouse, and when he saw Leroy, instead of giving him a towel, he gave him a blank. Those are great, man. I mean, I used to watch it when I was a kid with my mom and have no fucking idea, even though you'd hear the crowd laughing their ass off, and I'm like, what's so funny about that? Meanwhile, my mom is blushing at everything. Match game was fun, man. Match game back in the 70s was fun. Yeah, match game is... I actually have a DVD somewhere of, like, all match game episodes. They were a lot of fun. I enjoyed Gene Rayburn as a game show host. You know, most of the hosts, the people on the panel were, you know, they were good too. You know, you had your regulars there, Richard Dawson before he, you know, he was in F Troop, I think he was. A lot of people don't know that Richard Dawson used to be an actor before he became a game show host. Well, to this day, a lot of people still don't know that. But I don't know if it was F Troop, but it was one of those 60s TV shows. Guardian Chaos, bald or mohawk? Wait, is this a sex question? I think he's saying bald or mohawk. All right, if this is a sex question for me, okay. Put it this way. I could never picture myself without a mustache. Like, there's got to be some signs of something. Like, I don't want to look at something, especially, you know, if you're dating someone who's like 90 pounds and you go down there and it feels like you're going to get arrested. You know, like, I got to feel like, you know, that there's some evidence of age down there somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I have to have a something down there. You know, there's got to be a little bit of a something. That's probably, landing strip. Yeah, I was never into fully shaved. No, I was never into it. I know some people that you can't have like one piece of hair on any of your body. I've talked to friends of mine, male and female, and, you know, you get into weird topics and you would talk about that. And I knew some people like, there can't be an inch, an ounce, can't be one little piece of hair anywhere. And meanwhile, I'm looking at myself and I'm like, yeah, well, that kind of like counts me out. But there's some people that are really into one or the other. But then again, like, I don't want like Vanessa Del Rio either. I don't want someone who, you know, like who has like, in it, like you would think you're actually like putting your head inside a lamb, like just like this. Put it this way: we were talking earlier about Lionel Richie and his hair from the 70s. I don't want to go down there and feel like I'm gonna get lost. You know, like I gotta like navigate. This got a little uncomfortable. It didn't get uncomfortable, but all right, people are revealing a little bit too much right now. All right, so we're at 63 minutes. I say let's hang out for like another 10, and then we'll get out of here. You know, I got to be honest with you. I really enjoyed this convo tonight. Easy, just, you know, doesn't always have to just be about wrestling. Doesn't have to be anything serious. Like, we talk about serious stuff. Sometimes you just want to, you know, just sit back and just talk about lighthearted stuff. How often we do this format, I don't know. That's really up to you. You know, if you like it, maybe we do it like once a month. Maybe like the last Sunday of each month or the first Sunday of each month. Maybe we'll do something like that. Patreon. I put this in the comment section earlier. Patreon is a lot like this. I will say, though, Patreon gets a lot deeper, though. Because a lot of people that are on Patreon have been on Patreon for a very long time. So people feel a little bit more comfortable to ask, you know, particular topics and questions. Plus, a lot will do it in private. And, you know, it gets a little bit darker, a little more serious. I mean, you know, if anybody that's been on our Patreon for even a year or two knows, the shows can get, and if you're a channel member here, you get my Patreon show that's on there every Tuesday. You get it here on YouTube. You know, I feel that if my Patreon family can enjoy, like, some of the Q&As and stuff we do on YouTube, then my channel members on YouTube should be able to enjoy the Patreon episodes also. I have not put Kev's Patreon shows on this channel. It's not fair because he's not on the YouTube channel, and I don't want to use his content to try to, like, you know, anybody's a revenue grab or anything like that. And it's gets a little complicated. So, you know, we divide, you know, whatever we end up with Patreon. But here would get a little complicated. But am I going to watch Most Wanted Treasures with Bret Hart? I think so. I did see Mick Foley and Natty driving in a car, and I saw it had something to do with Bret Hart, so I am going to most likely check it out. I don't know if I'm going to see it tonight, because after this, I got to get some work done, get a little prepared for the office tomorrow, and, you know, here, two quick plugs, so if everybody knows. Tomorrow night, after Raw, I will be up doing the post-Raw show. We'll talk about Raw. We'll do some ratings talk, a couple of news tidbits as well. We'll talk about the Bray Wyatt situation. We'll also talk about that top 25 greatest debuts list that WWE put out. A lot of it is ridiculous. A lot of it is absolutely asinine. There are some names that are not even in the top 25 that makes no sense whatsoever. I have a lot to say about that top 25 list tomorrow. I have definitely stuff ready to go. And for everyone that does like the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, Tuesday night, Kevin and I will be recording preview and predictions for Night of Champions. We will be live on the Patreon Discord for anybody that does have our Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony. If you don't, no worries. I will have it posted on DonTony.com for everybody after the show is over. My guess is around midnight, Tuesday night, give or take a few minutes. But trust me, Tuesday night, that episode will be up there as well. And we will be doing predictions for that. If we get a nice response, I'll try to convince Kevin to do a recap with me the following week. We'll recap Night of Champions and, you know, we'll see what happens. So, all right. What's my go-to for fast food? Well, before keto, McDonald's. Something about McDonald's fries, I'm addicted to McDonald's fries. In fact, I've already thought, like, okay, you know, like, how long did it take me to get fat adapted before I could enjoy a couple of french fries and not get knocked out of ketosis? McDonald's was always my go-to. Was never a big fan about Burger King. Kentucky Fried Chicken, I used to love. And I brought this up probably about a month or two ago. I had Kentucky Fried Chicken about 2 months ago for the first time in a very long time. And I don't know what the fuck happened to Kentucky Fried Chicken. First of all, I knew that they got rid of potato wedges. Potato wedges were absolutely my favorites at Kentucky Fried Chicken. But we got some original recipe and some extra crispies. I don't know if they changed the oil or they changed the formula. This isn't the Colonel's secret recipe. Unless somebody just decided to fuck with me in the back and spit or blow a load all over my food because it tasted horrible. And I brought it home and everything looked cooked and fresh and I ate it and I'm like, this isn't Kentucky Fried Chicken, I remember. It was awful. It was awful. Never had any urge to get it ever again. White Castle is my go-to also, but White Castle, you got to be very careful about, unless, you know, make sure you have access to a bathroom. I can eat White Castle right now on keto. I just can't have the bread. You could have the meat. You know, it's not a healthy thing to have, but if you really want to split hairs and go dirty keto once in a while, yeah, I can eat White Castle, just no bread. Bash says KFC got too dry. It was, I don't remember it being dry 2 months ago. It just tasted different. It was, and believe me, I ate Kentucky Fried Chicken enough in my lifetime that even if you didn't have it for a long time, as soon as you bite into it, you know, you remember it. And it just tasted awful. It tasted like they changed something. And I have a feeling it's the oil. Because I know years back, McDonald's changed the oil when they would make fries and nuggets and deep fry stuff. And I remember there was a noticeable change, but the stuff still tasted good. But Kentucky Fried Chicken, maybe it was just a bad batch. I don't know. But I didn't like it at all. It was pretty awful. Taco Bell, for some reason, I'm not into Taco Bell. See, like right now, they have like keto-friendly tortillas. And I could put beef and sour cream and cheese and lettuce. You know, and it's almost normal, you know, so it's something that if I really wanted to have, I can. Taco Bell, I just was never, like when I was a lot younger, Taco Bell was one of the go-tos late at night. You come home from a club or you come home with from hanging out with your friends. You know, you go through the drive-thru at Taco Bell and you get a couple of Mex-a-melts and soft tacos and this and Mexican pizzas. You know, shit, I used to eat tons and tons of Taco Bell back in the day. Taco Bell, I liked it the most when they had that little fucking mutt walking around. Remember the little, the dog, the chihuahua, whatever his name was? Oh, Taco Bell. That's the time that I ate Taco Bell the most. Steve is asking, why is there no clarity on the women's NXT tag belts or the Raw or SmackDown titles? They have to address the Raw or SmackDown titles soon. I brought this up yesterday. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, they will be dropping the NXT tag title soon. They will appear on NXT episode. They might appear on Battleground. They might appear on Great American Bash. They will drop the title soon. Right now, they don't have a tag team established that they feel could be the cornerstone of the women's tag team division. Katana Chance and Kaden Carter are now on Raw. So right now they're trying to figure out who's going to be the next women's tag team in NXT that could be the cornerstone that could have a run with those belts. Right now there's really not many people. On SmackDown, you had Valentina Feroz and Yulisa Leon. They're NXT regulars, but they're nowhere near ready to hold those tag titles for quite some time. I think once you establish the new women's champion for NXT, then you could focus on a tag team. So, all right. Do I remember the McDonald's superhero sandwich from the 90s? Gross, I don't remember that at all. The superhero sandwich? I remember mixed spaghetti. I remember the little burritos that I think they still do. I remember McPizza. I don't really remember it, but I remember my dad, I think, getting it one time. I do remember mixed spaghetti, though. No, I don't remember any superhero sandwich. Don't remember that at all. In fact, it might be under a different name because I've watched... Any of you watch the Weird History Food Channel? That's a fun channel. If you want an interesting YouTube channel talking about food... There's the Weird History Channel, but they also have the Weird History Food Channel. And they got some great shit on there. And they've done some countdowns of some McDonald's failures over the years. Of the McDonald's failures, the one that I remember the most that I actually enjoyed back in the day, I mean really enjoyed it back in the day, the McDLT. Jason Alexander, I remember... That's the first time I ever saw Jason Alexander when he was doing the McDLT commercials. You got the hot side hot and the cool side cool. McDLT sandwiches were great because for those that don't know what a McDLT was, they still would give you your hamburgers in a styrofoam container. But if you ever saw the old styrofoam containers, it was a clamshell. You open it up and you have your burger in there and they close it. The McDLT, what the catch was, and trust me, I hate warm lettuce and warm tomatoes. If I have a burger, I have to have a nice cold piece of lettuce on it, nice cold red onion, nice cold tomato. I don't like a cooked hamburger with lettuce and tomato sitting on it for 5-10 minutes. And then when you bite into it, the lettuce is the same temperature as the hamburger. It tastes like shit. The McDLT, what they would do is the styrofoam container would be twice as the size. Instead of it being a clamshell that would open up, it was like this with two compartments with a cover. On this side would be the bottom of the bun and the hamburger. On this side would be the other side of the bun with the lettuce and tomato. And you would close it. And because they were separated, when you open your thing, the lettuce and tomato was a lot cooler than the hamburger. And then you would put it together and you'd eat it. The thing is that it was too expensive to keep them in those I don't know if anybody remembers the bag. I don't know if anybody remembers the bag that they would put the food in. When you ordered a McDLT, they had to give you this long, flat bag. And it cost them a lot of money to make the container. Plus, styrofoam, you know, they ended up getting rid of. Now everything is paper. But the McDLT back then, I ate so many of them. I ate too many of them. I mean, put it this way. Wilt Chamberlain is famous for having like thousands of women. I probably would have been famous for eating thousands of McDLTs if it was still around to this day. My go-to burger was McDLTs. The apple pies are good. I had apple pie about 4 or 5 months ago. Had two of them. See, that's like I said. If I'm allowed to have something, I'll have two. That's my problem. You know, if I'm going to have ice cream, I'll have two scoops. What's one scoop? I have two. You want chocolate or you want vanilla? Hey, you know, give me one of each. You know how many times I've done that? When we went to Disney, oh, my God. We went to Disney. Hey, I get, you know, can I have some ice cream? Oh, we got chocolate, we got vanilla, we got pistachio. Oh, pistachio is my favorite. Oh, we also got butter pecan. Okay, you know what? Give me one of each. Honey, they got brown Betty's and they got this. Which one do you want? I don't know which one. Which one should I get? All right, just give me both. I'll take a piece. Big mistakes. The apple pies are still around. Gross. I think McDonald's apple pies are still around. It tasted the same for me. I ate it about four months ago. It tasted the same. Of course, over the years, you know, they will change some things here and there. I know the oil was the biggest controversy back then. But the apple pie still tasted good. I don't feel like McDonald's has changed all that much over the years. The French fries, I don't know what it is about the McDonald's fries. Is it because I don't like them soggy? But I don't know. There's something about McDonald's fries that, to me, it's not even, I can't even compare them. Like Burger King, I hate their fries. Garbage. Even White Castle. White Castle, I don't know what they do. They get, I don't know where they get their potatoes from, but White Castle French fries suck. And I've had it with the melted cheese and the bacon and everything, and it still sucks. I literally want to just like roll it into a ball and throw it at somebody. Garth is asking, are we seeing UFC's real biggest competitor? We are seeing UFC's biggest competitor, ONE Championship, and they are becoming the most dominated companies of all Asian countries, just like the UFC. Listen, I think when you talk about, I'm not a big fan of UFC. I never got into it. But, you know, you look at what's happening in sports. I mean, WWE merging with UFC and this other organization. What you're seeing is that you either are a big, successful organization or you're done. I don't know how long the USFL will be around. I don't know how long the XFL will be around. I personally think over the next couple of years, one of those two companies, those two franchises are going to be done. What you're seeing now is, you know, really, really big, you know, billion-dollar conglomerates or nothing. Like, you're either a tiny, tiny little fish in the pond or you're something huge. It doesn't feel like there's as many of a middle ground like there used to be. And I got to be honest with you, I like middle ground. You know, I like something that doesn't have to be so advanced or so complicated or so, you know, polished. you know, but at the same time, I don't want something that looks like somebody's underground basement, you know, that used to have cockfights. You know what I mean? So, and there's enough investors out there that are willing to pay the money. Listen, when I see AEW's ratings, you know, I understand that there are a lot of people that watch on streaming media. There's a lot of people that will watch programming in a lot of different ways, not just people who have a Nielsen box on a Wednesday night. I don't know anybody with a Nielsen. Actually, I know two people with Nielsen boxes. How many people do you know that have a Nielsen box? We're all watching AEW, and our ratings are not being registered. The reason why it's still very important is because that is how you can monitor, you know, what is popular and what is not. When you see all these ratings for CBS and NBC and ABC and cable and news and this and that, you know, they base it on the same group of people over and over again. But those group of people are the ones that show the trend. It's just like an election. You know, if you remember Trump and Biden running for presidency a couple of years ago, when you would see some polls, you would see 10,000 people polled, 5,000 people polled. You know, that wasn't millions of people, but there were some decent polls that had 5,000-10,000 people in them, and they ended up reflecting overall what their state was or what, you know, whatever election it was. They're just taking a little picture, a small fragment, a percentage of the overall picture. So if you don't want to pay attention to polls that only have 100 people in them, because you could target a certain area where you know that 100 people will likely fall in a different direction. But when you start going in areas where you got 5, 10, 20,000 people, you know, surveyed, you get a better idea as far as how somebody is doing. And it's the same thing with ratings as well. When you see that the shows would average 1 million and then suddenly average 700,000, you know, you can't just simply write it off like, oh, well, you know, people are finding it. No, that means that very recently, like, good 30% of your audience have decided to tune into something else. And you ask yourself, you know, how are these outlets getting these kind of billion-dollar deals with just with such a small footprint of viewership? Like, how is it possible that a show that only gets 1 million viewers, anywhere, any TV show, gets 1 million viewers but gets a crazy, crazy TV deal? You know, you start adding it up. You know, it's a lot more complicated. That's why the wrestling world is a little weird with this shit. Because you don't see that same wackiness amongst the entertainment world, amongst the sports world. Wrestling is pretty much the only one. Even in the news media world, it was more about bragging rights. Fox would outdraw CNN, and there'd be bragging rights. They didn't turn around and say, oh, this got a low number because, oh, you know, such and so-and-so Survivor was on. They never blame it on anything else. They just try to figure out what can they do to get people to tune into this shit. All right. We're going to jet out of here in about 2 or 3 minutes. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Cap it a great if the Mets fail to make the playoffs. Do I think Showalter gets fired and the team broken up? I think they will definitely make the playoffs. They're too good. They're too good. Showalter is great. I don't think Showalter is the problem. I think just the Mets needed time to develop and gel. Scherzer and Verlander are an outstanding 1-2 punch. I like them bringing up some rookies. It kind of reminds me of 1985 when the Mets brought up Lenny Dykstra and, you know, they had some young guys, you know. In 86, Dave Magadan only did a very small amount. Kevin Mitchell, very small amount. But they were still, they gave a little bit of fire. Lenny Dykstra especially. You know, so seeing some young, you know, hungry people coming up, that energy, I don't think they – listen, I don't even think remotely there's any chance they don't make the playoffs. I think the Mets will make the playoffs. Buck Showalter, I think his job is secure for a little while. He hasn't really made many blunders. There's not – I mean, there's been some questionable decisions here and there, but that's with any team. So the Mets, I think, will be just fine. And look, this past week, they've had a tremendous week. You don't base the whole season on 1 week, but they've had a pretty good week. I think they're starting to turn it around. So, do I watch food and restaurant reviews? I don't as much as I used to because, like, let me put it this way. Restaurants, wherever you live right now, if anybody tuning in, wherever you live, like, how many people are you going to pull up on YouTube that's actually going to review the restaurant that is maybe 5 minutes from your house or 15 minutes from your house? Like, when I went on my honeymoon to Disney World, you know, like, I watched tons of food reviews to see what restaurants were good. And, you know, I had an idea as far as where we were going to go and was prepared, like, oh, stay away from this one. The funny thing is with Disney World, all of their Italian restaurants are pretty awful. Like, some are okay, but they're more like, oh, what's that? Olive Garden. Like, we didn't go to any Italian restaurants, but there was one or two that over and over again we kept hearing. Like, the funny thing about, I don't want to throw any disrespect to anyone, but the funny thing about Disney World was if you watch food reviews from, like, somebody from Alabama or Florida or from Texas or from New Jersey, and they were, like, Irish or non-Italian, you know, they would actually give some of these Italian restaurants a decent review. Like, oh, the chicken was a little tough, but you know what? That sauce was to die for. Yeah, you put butter and olive oil in anything and it'll taste good. You can put butter on shit and it'll taste good to a certain extent. But if you watch some food reviews from Italians with Disney World, and you go on YouTube, just type in food review Italian Disney World, and you'll see a couple of Italian food channels. But the fuck is this? This is fucking garbage. This is like eating at the Olive Garden. What the fuck? You might as well give me tons of breadsticks. It's funny, but you know what? It's like Chinese food. Like me, I order Chinese food. Now I'm not ordering anymore. But me, I order Chinese food, and I'll have from this place in my neighborhood, and it's, I think it's great food, and I eat, and I eat, and I eat. And then, you know, you go online and you look at food reviews and you look at Chinese people that will review a Chinese restaurant, and their review is 10 times different than I am. I'm like, this chicken is good. And then you go watch, like, Young Ho Lin just reviewed your Chinese restaurant you always go to. My wife, about a month ago, she's like, did you see the food review online? That Chinese food restaurant you keep trying to get me to eat? I'm like, no. She's like, go watch it. And it's some Chinese guy. This awful. This garbage. This junk food. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's fucking great. But our palates are different. So as far as restaurant reviews, if I'm planning on going to something specific for a special occasion, I will try to grab a review to see what it's about, what I should be prepared for. But other than that, no. Now I'm back on keto, I have to play a little bit of catch up. Like, there's some, like, I love bread. So I have to see, like, what keto bread is out there that's not too expensive, that doesn't spike your blood sugar. You know, I got to see, you know, like, I already yesterday had a plate of lupini pasta with some Rao sauce. And it was really, really good. And I watched a food review last week about a particular brand of lupini pasta. And I ordered it and I tried it yesterday and I thought it was good. So for me, it's more like food reviews related to diet. So were there things that helped me with the passing of my grandmother? Steve just lost his brother last Monday. His birthday's tomorrow. Not taking it well. My condolences, Steve. I can't even imagine what it would be like for me to lose my brother right now. My grandmother, I mean, you know, she died in 1991. It's been a while. She got me into wrestling. She's the reason why I'm still doing this, or even started doing this. And my grandmother I miss dearly. I still remember where I was, what I was doing, what I was wearing, what time of day it was. My father called me. I don't even think I had a cell phone at the time. My father called me in my job and told me that they found my grandmother. She had died of a heart attack in her house. And she was young, too. She was, what, I think maybe 61. She was very young. Have I ever fully gotten over it? I don't think you ever fully get over anybody that passes away. You learn to accept it. But for me, when my grandmother is, I carry on things about her through me. And I've brought this up on Patreon more than anything else. I still have relatives to this day that I'll say something or act something a certain way. And like my aunt will say to me, that's your grandmother. A lot of times people say, that's your father. Like there's things about me, the way I act, the way I say something or I handle something that reminds some people in my family of my grandmother. And I've said this to people in the past. If you truly cherish someone, like in the case of your brother, if there's things about your brother that you celebrate, good traits about him, then you live your life with him in spirit. Like you do things like he's with you. And if there's certain, like if he acted a certain way, if he handled a certain way, if he went about things, or if he had certain views that are in sync with you, you carry that on. You know, so there's a lot moral-wise about my grandmother that I still carry on. And she passed away 32 years ago. So, you know, it's they truly never leave. And if you keep, believe me, I don't know when my mom and my dad, it's their time. Hopefully it's not for a very long time still. You know, in the back of your mind, when that phone rings late at night, I get chills down my spine. You know, sometimes it's a scammer. Sometimes, well, not anymore because we're married, but sometimes it'd be my wife when she was my fiance. I can't sleep. You know, I'm like, text me. Don't ring my house at 2 o'clock in the morning because I fear the worst. But I do know that a lot of the way I act, generosity, giving, you know, that is traits of my mom, traits of my dad, traits of my grandmother. So you just got to carry your brother on. And he'll never truly leave. Eddie misses his dad. There's things about your dad, you know, that if you carry on, you know, he's looking down and smiling at you, man. You know, trust me, there's people, you know, my dog's a little, it's a little different with a pet, you know, but, you know, my dog, you know, I've learned to accept what happened. And I realize now that if I would have kept my dog around, it would have been more selfishness than anything else. He's out of his pain. You look at superstar Billy Graham, who just passed away last week. His wife did not want to pull the plug. He's a fighter. He's been a fighter all his life in the Senate. And the doctors told her, Valerie, he can't hear. He can't see. His heart is in bad shape. He's got infections. He's lost 40 pounds. Like, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, they didn't say it that cold. That sounds cold, but, you know, she realized she keeps the plug in. It's because she doesn't want to say goodbye. Not that she's helping him. And she came to a realization that a lot of others out there as well that, look, you got to be prepared. I mean, we're never truly prepared for the day that it's time for somebody to go. You know, like in a perfect world, we just go to sleep and we never get up, you know, but I'll never be prepared for my mom or my dad or anybody else in my family. One of my best friends died a couple of years ago. My friend Kenny, I used to always talk about, he passed away a couple of years ago. His a little different. He turned into a drug addict, but you never truly fully could be prepared for something like that. But one thing I do know is that when I talk about my grandmother, when I tell you all how I became a wrestling fan, you know, when I'm a kid, 9 years old, and my grandmother's babysitting me, and it's midnight on a Saturday night, and I hear professional wrestling in the background, and my grandmother's got this little black and white TV by her bed. I'm like, Nanny, what are you watching? Oh, wrestling. What's that? Oh, it's just people fighting. They're not really fighting and this and that. But, and I sat by the bed and I got hooked. And then when I went home the next day, and my mom is like, "What did you do then? You know, Friday night or Saturday night it was." And oh, you know, Nanny made us this, and we watched this, and she had wrestling on. And my mother's like, "Wrestling? Why are you letting them watch wrestling for?" Then I realize, okay, now I really got to watch it. But, you know, like, there's so many positive memories of my grandmother that I keep her spirit alive. So even though she hasn't been around for 32 years, and I tell my wife all the time, my wife loves my mother, and I have an aunt. Her name is Joyce. And if you took my mother and you took Joyce and you put them together, that's my grandmother. And I tell my wife all the time, I say, you would have loved my grandmother. My grandmother reminds me of Blanche, which B. Arthur. Whatever character she was on the Golden Girls, that was my grandmother. To the T, she was B. Arthur to the T. So, but I keep her spirit alive by telling stories. You know, I bring up the wrestling stuff because we follow wrestling. But there's a lot more to my grandmother than just that. So with your brother, Dorothy, is that what? Okay, Dorothy, that's her name. Thank you, Verse. So yeah, my grandmother was Dorothy. Just not tall and very fat. She was a short, fat version of Dorothy. But that was my grandmother, you know. And there's a lot of my grandmother's humor that, you know, I carry on to this day. But, you know, whether it's your brother, your mom, relative, close friend, you know, if you keep their spirit alive, you know, in some way, you can't physically talk to them. But I will say this, for any of you out there that still have your family here with us, shoot some video. Record. I save bullshit messages on my answering machine. Like, I have footage, even Christmas time. My father was in rare form talking about, you know, back in the day when he was hanging out with O.J. Simpson at some California banquet and this and that, and he's whipping out pictures and it's, and I'm like, you know, we're talking 1980s. And like, he's in rare form. He's like, you know, "Babe, get the photo album." And I just literally just hit my phone and I had it on my lap like this. And I recorded about 10 minutes of video and my father was in rare form. And then after 10 minutes, my father's like, "You're recording me?" No, Dad." And meanwhile, I was recording him. This was Christmas, this past year. I did that because, you know, there's going to come a time where he's not going to be physically here, and I'm going to be watching it on replay over and over and over and over again. So, believe me, I tell you, shoot some footage, shoot some video, because that in this day and age, man, I wish I had cell phone with video. Back in the 80s, 1990, I would have recorded so much shit with my grandmother that I'd still watch to this day. Unfortunately, I just got pictures. Now, in 2023, there's no excuse. You got plenty of opportunity to shoot video. Get a Dropbox. Shoot video, put it in storage, forget about it. One day, you'll want to whip it out, and you'll be very thankful. You know what's weird? And I will, down the line, when it's the right time, I will play it for all of you. I have a cassette tape. I can't take it now. It's take me too long to find it, but I have a cassette tape that I have a lot of cassette tapes from the 70s and the 80s, even when I used to mix, do DJ mixes and stuff like that. But I found a tape that's got to be from 1979. It's either 1979 or 1980. And you know, I listened to some of it about a year ago, and it's me and my friend Joey. And, you know, when you're a kid and it's the late 70s and you're in your house and you got a little fucking square tape recorder that you just hit record and you talk into it and this and that, you know, at that time it was a big deal. And for about 45 minutes, my mom is cooking in the background, the TV is on, and me and my friend Joey are just talking nonsense. Kids, just talking about whatever. And, you know, during it, you know, you hear my mom saying, you know, Anthony, we got to eat soon and this and that. And the tape is in bad shape. It's a generic. I'll show everybody the tape, you know, soon. I can take it out of storage. But the thing is, I had no idea I still had this thing. I had a shoebox of cassette tapes, a lot of them unlabeled, and I just put play just to see if there was anything on it. And I hear this noise, and I hear TV, and I hear like some, and I'm like, holy shit. I have footage of my bird, who's still alive, from 1995. I have footage of me recording my bird. And it's weird because at that time, he made different sounds. He said different things. Now he doesn't say any of the same things and he doesn't do any of the same sounds. The same bird, still alive. And I have about 10 minutes of video. So believe me when I tell you, you know, you get the opportunity to shoot a little video, even if it's 5 minutes, 10, 20, 30 years from now, you'll appreciate that you got that stuff taped. Because for me, like I said, 30 years ago, it was a picture. You know, from a 110 camera. Now it's video. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. I would definitely appreciate feedback from this episode. You know, well, I'm not just saying this to be dramatic here. You know, you do a wrestling show, you know what to expect. It's going to be WWE, AEW. Maybe a little bit of Impact of Japan mixed in, but pretty much you know what is going to be asked. You do something with a format like this, you have no idea what is going to be asked because there is a world of crazy shit going on. There is thousands of things going on. So you can never fully prepare like, oh, what if this person asks me this about the UK? Or what if this person asks me this about Australia? Or this person asks me this about soccer? Or this and that. So believe me when I tell you, you know, these unknowns are exciting, but at the same time, though, they could really fall off the rails really quickly. That's why I never did a baseball show. You know, a couple of years ago, I had quite a few of you out there saying, DT, do a baseball show. And there's other people that I'm friendly with in the podcasting world that were going to do a baseball show as well. Until you realized that you had to study 30-plus teams. I can't just talk Mets. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to do a baseball show and somebody says to me, what do you think about the Rockies? Oh, what do you think about the Pirates? You know, like, you have to study 30-plus teams. You can't just simply cherry pick unless I'm going to do a Met show. Now you just narrow down your audience to this much because only people that really follow the Mets would tune in. And if you're not an expert, why would somebody want to tune into your, you know, Mets podcast? So believe me, I tell you, these are not as easy as you think that they are, but I definitely would welcome your feedback. And you'll be the ones to decide if we do this again. And how often, you know, if the response is good, and I really mean this, you know, there's a lot of people out there that'll be like, yeah, yeah, no, I'll give you feedback, and then they never comment. And be honest, if you didn't like it, I'm fine with that. You know, but if I see that the response is going in a certain direction, then maybe we will do this once a month. Maybe we'll do it the last Sunday of each month, like I said before, maybe the first Sunday of each month. I don't know. But definitely let me know what you thought of this. And we'll go from there. My friends, it was fun, and I will definitely catch you all again. Monday, right after Raw, we will be here discussing Raw. Tuesday, we'll have the history show and the predictions, Kevin and I, and then we get into the regular routine for the rest of the week. Next Q&A, probably be next Thursday. I'll definitely keep everybody informed with that. I got to look at schedule and see, you know, when would be the right time to do the next Q&A. Maybe the Thursday afterwards, because we got three pay-per-views coming up. Technically pay-per-views. We got WWE, we got NXT, and we got AEW. So it might be better to wait until the following week to do one. But, you know, we'll see how everything goes. So everyone, much love. It's been real. I'll see you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.